Okay, everybody's best Christopher Walken. Go ahead, Bob.
I don't know what to say.
Jesus.
In this milieu.
Right, Mitch, go on.
Bob is a nice. That is pretty good. And that's Bob is good. So it's doubly, you know, it's doubly relevant.
Okay, Lenny.
I got to agree that Mitch, you spoke the truth about Bob and...
Oh, actually, that was pretty good. All right, folks, this is the No Mind Podcast, I guess. My name's Mitch Maxine. Any comments or questions to the No Mind Podcast Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or an email to nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. We started off being silly before the podcast. We were doing impressions. We only got to Christopher Walken and Arnold Schwarzenegger, so maybe we ought to cut it off there. Let's go around the table, say hi to everybody. Bob, how you doing?
I'm great. Coincidentally, I just got back from my last anger management seminar, and my therapist says I'm doing very well, and he's confident that I can actually come on and think rationally and carefully consider my thoughts and my words. And when I told him that Lenny's going to be back again after a long absence, he said, that's great, because Lenny has a very calming influence on you, and so I'm confident that I'll be mostly listening, sort of measuring my words, and I'll interject every now and then.
It's nice to have goals. All right, Lenny, how you doing, man?
I don't really know how to follow that. It's great to be back. I've missed a few, and I've listened in and had lots of opinions on what I've listened to, so hopefully I'll have as many opinions tonight. But definitely in a few minutes before we started recording, we were the No Mind Podcast, because there's got to be serious effects here. But great to be back. And thanks for having me back, more importantly.
Yeah, no, it's good to have you back, man. We missed you the last couple of podcasts. Darren, how you doing, buddy?
Speak for yourself. Oh, oops.
Sorry, Bob. Right off the bat, we haven't even started podcast, and Bob just jumped in. I couldn't even get myself. I couldn't even say how I was doing before Bob was going to argue before. No, you're not doing well. You're not doing well.
My therapist doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about. He can shove it up his ass.
No, funny, when Bob was talking about therapy, I thought he was conducting a therapy session on somebody. I didn't understand that he had an anger management thing. I thought it was like that was his newest employment thing, where he was conducting sessions on anger management for people.
Let's put somebody's emotional well-being in Bob's hands.
Well, he was normally the quiet, fucking philosophical voice of reason, I guess, back in the day. I guess things change.
Wow. Sitting here measuring my words, just listening.
Life is a flower. All right. Anyway, Darren, how you doing, man?
I'm good. Yeah, it's good to be here. We missed last week, which was a shame. I wanted to be there. I was trying to do alternate days. Nobody was adhering to my schedule, but we're here now. Let's do it.
Okay. I just got a message from Rick Mullen, who is unavailable, but will be trying to log in shortly, so he'll jump in at some point. All right, folks, so this podcast, we're going to finish off the podcast we did last time, and it was called the Cannibalism Podcast. I called it that because I stole these topics from other podcasts. I shamelessly stole these podcast topics. So let's start with the first of the last topics on this podcast, and it reads this way. Arrogance is forgivable, which is a weird statement because it automatically assumes arrogance is a bad thing, but... arrogance is forgivable if confidence is at its base. The only time that arrogance becomes a negative thing is when it has no foundation in ability. That's a strange statement. I don't even know what to do with it. Bob, thoughts?
Look, my personality is such that my gut reaction is that arrogance is, you're an asshole if you're arrogant. The people, UFC guys who are flouting off on the microphone and all that shit, I think they're assholes. However, the fact is, modest people don't win unless, you know, I don't know, some George St. Pierre or something. So it really seems that you got to push, you got to get rid of the modesty. No, you don't get rid of it. You have to have a personality that isn't modest in order to win. Is that not the case?
Let's take a step back and define our terms. I just looked up the definition of arrogance, and so what I... okay, Len, you go ahead. I know how much you like looking
up. No, because I'm going to rebut yours. Go on.
Here's the definition of arrogance that I found. An attitude of superiority manifested in an overbearing manner or in presumptuous claims or assumptions. Everybody okay with that definition?
Fair enough, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, there are words like superiority and overbearing and presumptuousness. Those are not positive terms. Like when you say that someone's being presumptuous or overbearing, those are not terms that you say when you're trying to compliment someone. So I think we can all agree that by that definition, arrogance is a bad thing. Does anyone want to argue that point? Okay.
No, yeah.
Okay, so let's assume that for a second. Now let's talk about the one phrase in Bob's little diatribe that jumped out at me, which is that humble people don't win. You have to be arrogant to win. Let's talk about that. Like, Bob, do you really believe that in order to win, someone has to, and what framework are we talking about? Because Darren made a point in one of the other podcasts that a lot of the personas you see in the UFC are invented. They're facades that people put up in order to gain numbers and put asses in the seats and all that stuff.
In boxing as well, like in any
sure.
kind of
right in any kind
sport,
of
I guess, where you're trying to drum up bodies.
Exactly. So it's hard to tell whether those people are actually arrogant or not. So let's keep the conversation down to our personal experience rather than popular media experience.
I mean, yes, absolutely.
No, go ahead, Bob. Go. What? You have issue with it.
I can't think of a sport in which the best of the elite aren't arrogant.
I can.
Like a Tiger Woods.
So can I.
Yeah. Oh, and I can. In boxing, I can as well.
What?
Are you guys from?
Can't.
You know what I'm saying? I'm contradicting you.
Yeah, he's saying he can. Bob, go ahead, Len.
Have you guys heard of Katie Taylor?
I'm not saying there aren't exceptions. I'm saying it's the rule. I'm saying that most champions.
No, he's right there. He's right there. There's always going to be exception to anything we talk about, and that would be a good example. You're always George St. Pierre is a good example, right? We started off with George St. Pierre. So there's always going to be an exception and some guy that's not arrogant, some guy that's not a dickhead, but ends up doing really well and everybody loves him and stuff like that. But the general rule is what Bob said.
It's the arrogant guys who train harder, and it's the guys who train harder.
No, that's not true.
No, that's definitely not true.
Oh, sure. Okay, I get your point. But in order to train the hardest, those who are arrogant will have the best chance at it. How's that?
No.
Oh,
that goes back to the confidence thing.
I'm just feeling things out here.
The thing is, you can't, on one hand, you can't say that the arrogant people are the ones who succeed, and on the other hand, say that whatever you just said. Sorry, I'm having... This vertigo hasn't completely left me yet, so I'm having trouble following this.
I'm just asserting the idea that most of the people who are champions are arrogant, and there's a correlation in some way. I'm not saying that
are they
that the
arrogant
causes,
or is that the, but is,
I'm
is
not
that
saying the arrogance causes the winning, and I'm not saying the winning requires the arrogance. I'm just saying there's a correlation number wise. That's all I'm saying.
Here's what I would like to know. Just like what Bob was just saying there. If you were around tournaments and you ran into some arrogant people, there's no press, there's nobody that's listening to them or anything. It's just what they are right there. If they're being arrogant, then you can judge them on that. If you're doing anything that requires money, like any big name sports, and they're being arrogant, chances are it's a persona in general. So what Bob just says, oh, like someone's arrogant, blah, blah, blah. Are they arrogant, or is that part of the thing you know what I mean? Just
I don't know.
To build everything up for the whole capitalization.
If you're a modest person and you go into the UFC and you, let's say you're in a big money making, you have a chance to make a lot of money. Would you say arrogant things? In front of
camera? That's what they do.
Really?
Yeah, you would.
If you're a modest person, would you do that personally? Would you actually get up and say those things?
I wouldn't. But even if you take Colby Covington, he was a modest person, and he was winning every fight, but he wasn't getting any fights, and he wasn't getting any money, and he changed his entire personification. His whole personality, and then suddenly he's a big name fighter, and he's making millions, and he knows it, and so everybody knows it. So
a whole WWE persona thing.
It is. Well, even take Muhammad Ali back in the '70s. That's what everybody was attracted to him, because he appeared arrogant.
But he was arrogant. Like he didn't put it on.
Ah, he did. He was a fucking nicest guy in the world. Jesus. Any interview, normally outside of the promotion of a fight, any interview, him was just like, he was so humble, he was so quiet, he was so intelligent. It was only when he was promoting a fight that all the arrogance came out.
The problem here, guys, is that when we talk about worldwide personalities and popular media personalities, we don't know anything about who they really are. All we see is what we're shown. And what I really want to start talking about are people who are, in our own experience, actually arrogant. Like, I don't care about the UFC because I don't know these people. I don't know what their personality types are. And I agree with Darren. A lot of them put that arrogance on as a facade in order to garner popular opinion and garner attention and make themselves popular in that spectrum. But that's not what this talking point's about. This talking point is about actual arrogance. People who are actually arrogant. Len, go ahead.
Go ahead. I think that, I find my own personal interpretation is that arrogant people are people who display it. It's one thing you've got your kind of showmanship that comes with, a showman or character arrogance that you see in this UFC and so on. You step aside and the person is a different person. But I find personally, arrogant people who are true and true to the core arrogant aren't like that just in combat sports or competitive nature. It perpetuates through their whole life.
And of course.
It's like they're disposed all the time. They're exaggerating their own worth or importance. And no matter what they do, and they like to belittle other people. So that's not a confidence thing. That's just... it's a chip on the shoulder, and it's an exaggerated persona of themselves, which I think is something that's lacking in their own, that they need to big themselves up to put you down.
The question, though, Lenny, is if someone is or has an arrogant personality, and specific to this talking point, because I took this quote directly from another podcast,
yeah,
that the only time... in terms of their training, that arrogance becomes a bad thing is when someone doesn't have the ability to back it up. Almost to make the assumption that if you're that good, if you're a good fighter, it's not as bad a thing to be arrogant because you have the ability to back up that arrogance. And I'm just curious about whether you think that's a reasonable perspective or not.
No, I think you can be confident in your own abilities and be very positive about your own confidence without having the arrogance, which has that belittling factor to others about it, is what I find.
Now, here we get down to it. What's the difference between arrogance and confidence?
Just that. Arrogance belittles other people, whereas confidence is confident about yourself without being disrespectful to others.
Is that the only difference? That in arrogance, you have that sense of superiority, and in confidence... I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble figuring out if I'm confident in what I can do.
Yeah.
If I'm confident in what I can do, that means I'm confident that I can beat this other person. By definition, that puts me in a position of superiority to them, and that by definition is part of being arrogant. So I'm having
trouble. No.
Go ahead, Bob.
Bob,
I can be confident in my idea that I can beat somebody without being arrogant about it.
What? Okay. Without using those terms, like drill a little deeper, because I'm having trouble figuring out the difference.
Do you know what bothers me about this is, in between, say about a week ago, I watched an interview where somebody actually discussed this, just completely coincidental, and I'm like, oh fuck, that's perfect. I'm going to explain this on the next podcast, but it was supposed to be last weekend. And because it's this weekend, I've completely forgotten what the interview was and what it was. But it actually, the guy actually did the fine line between arrogance and confidence, and it was perfect. And I thought, oh fuck, I gotta send this to these guys because that's actually perfect. But now I can't remember it. But it was literally, it was literally a fine line between you're confident in your abilities and everything, but I think arrogance becomes a personality trait. Confidence is just an ability trait. Arrogance becomes personality.
See what you said there, Darren. I just read something there. It might be what you stumbled across. It actually says there's two types of arrogance. One is individual arrogance, where you've got an inflated opinion of your own abilities or confidence compared to the truth. But then you've got comparative arrogance, which is inflated of all that compared to other people. So one is like, are you overconfident when you actually shouldn't be? And the other one is just comparing yourself to others. So
that kind of makes sense.
You know, there is a difference between the two.
Sorry.
Hang on, guys. Hold on. Hold on, Bob. Rick, are you there?
Are we recording?
We've been recording for 30 minutes. All right, Rick, just say hi to the nice people and we'll jump back into the conversation.
Hi, nice people. I'll find out what the conversation's going on here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Just to bring Rick up to speed, we're talking about arrogance versus confidence. What does it mean to be arrogant? What does it mean to be confident? And how do those things impact your performance as a martial artist? So I can't remember who was talking.
I was saying there was a difference between individual arrogance and comparative arrogance. Individual was inflating your own opinion and abilities compared to what's actually the truth, whereas comparative arrogance was inflating your own abilities compared to other people.
And I just looked up
the same thing.
No, because one is inflating your own abilities where it actually mightn't be the truth. Whereas the other one is you can inflate your own abilities compared to a guy, you're 20 years training, a guy walks in the door with no training. Well, logically, you're probably going to be much better than him. You have that comparative arrogance.
So the first one is confidence, the second one is arrogance. Or sorry, the first one is arrogance, the second one is confidence.
Yeah, okay, Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi.
Len. Okay. Len is Lynn and Bob is Susan and Darren can be Darlene. Okay, Lenny,
a little by the
definitions you're talking about,
okay, go on.
Do you have to have a bloated sense of ability to be arrogant, meaning you think you're better than you are?
Someone who's a
Jesus,
grand
Bob's a ventriloquist now.
Yeah, Lenny.
All right,
Lenny does a really good Bob impression.
I'm sorry. Okay, shut up. God damn.
Wait my turn.
Now I gotta remember.
Yeah, that's my problem. I gotta remember what the topic was by the time it comes around to me.
So, back to the question, does arrogance mean an inflated sense of self, or can you have a realistic sense of self and still be arrogant?
Going on my personal encounters with arrogant people, I suppose, with the best way I can, so this is not necessarily gospel, I found that arrogant people that I've come across had an inflated sense, but they developed an obnoxious attitude with it. And the confidence side, you never knew how much was confidence and how much was them just being obnoxious. Don't
Bob,
know if that answers the question.
there's no reason there can't be very confident people who are arrogant.
Is confidence a stepping stone to arrogance?
It's not a mutually exclusive thing. Your personality is arrogant. It's not something that you take on unless you're playing a role. Like if you're truly arrogant, it's not something you control.
You're supremely confident if you're arrogant.
I think that's being very forgiving to arrogant people.
No, I'm just saying that's the problem. That's the basis for their belief, that they're that confident in themselves. It doesn't mean it's the truth, though.
Rick, what do you think?
I'm still thinking here.
Go ahead, Rick.
No, Rick's still thinking.
I'm just thinking, if you can be like a humble person and not really expect much and just keep winning and winning and winning at whatever aspect of life it is, not necessarily martial arts, and then you can maybe gain confidence and think, Jesus, I actually have something here. I have an ability, and you get confidence and maybe you keep going and going. And I think at some point it could turn to arrogance, or you could just continue on in the path that you are. And when it turns to arrogance, that's when I think Lenny said it's where, or somebody said it's almost when you're looking down on somebody else, and that's where it becomes arrogant. It's like, look here, I've been doing this for so many years, you don't know what you're talking about. As opposed to just being confident in what you're doing and allowing everybody else to do what they're doing. When you become arrogant, suddenly you're changing your attitude. So it's a personality trait. And I don't think they could be confident or arrogant depending on their personality. I think you can develop arrogance over time. Do you know what I mean? Like even the most humblest person, if they're going through a lot of shit and they're thinking, geez, I am the shit, you can become arrogant.
Another aspect to this is if you're supremely good at something, arrogance is kind of a shortcut. Like you don't have to worry about the psychological burden of being modest. Like you can just let yourself go kind of and just be arrogant and screw everybody.
See, we can all relate to that.
The only downside is you'll be perceived as an asshole. And
we can all relate to that.
You're in the stratosphere of whatever you're doing, maybe that doesn't matter so much that you're perceived as an asshole.
You know, I'm going to pull this back into a more grounded perspective. I've been thinking while you guys were talking about the people I have known in my martial arts career who I consider arrogant and who I consider confident. And the irony here is that the best martial artists that I can think of that I've known in my lifetime are not arrogant individuals. And some of the not best martial artists have been arrogant. I think almost to my experience, this is just me speaking anecdotally.
I think that
people who are arrogant because it is a mask for their actual lack of ability. I think they make up for their lack of ability by inflating their sense of self.
Now I have a question.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
I have a question. Again, based on Mitch's experience with these people going up through everything, have you seen people that were arrogant that got brought back down to reality and then continued on and then either became confident or just continued on without being arrogant anymore?
Not
because
really.
I've seen them before where someone's arrogant and then suddenly got their ass kicked or handed to them or whatever it was, brought back down to reality. And then
but they're still
point,
arrogant after that.
There's two different people. That's the thing. That's why I think it's not necessarily a personality trait. Some people may just continue and brush it off and going, yeah, he got lucky or whatever it was and continue being arrogant. Other people actually realize their downfall, their mistakes, and they realized they weren't the end all to be all, and they started from scratch again and worked them way up, and then they were cool after that.
Do you know people, Darren, who have gone through that cycle?
Yeah, that's why I was asking you, because when you were saying from your experience, I was thinking, have you had experience where someone was arrogant and then got their ass handed to them and suddenly were humble and then kind of went forth from there, almost started over and thought, okay, I'm not who I thought I was. I'm not the best, but now I'm going to try to be the best. And then they
that's awesome.
Went on
I'd
that
love
path.
To hear, I'd love to hear those stories and know those.
I would too, because honestly, I can think of a handful of people I know who I would consider arrogant personalities but I don't recall any of them having altered that path and become less arrogant over time.
Fair enough.
Arrogance is sort of a false sense of one's own importance, right? Confidence the thing is you know you can do it, but you get arrogant, you inflate your own.
But hey, Rick, do you remember a guy back in the day named Chuck Duguay? Do you remember him?
Yep, I remember the name.
He was a fighter back in the day, and he was one of the most arrogant personalities I've ever seen. He was the kind of fighter who would throw a punch and then turn around and throw his hands in the air and like, yeah, I fought! Just the biggest asshole I've ever seen. Having said that, I can't remember watching him ever lose a fight. He was a good fighter, for sure. But he was such an arrogant asshole. I had no respect for him as a fighter because he was so arrogant. My point being, the only reason I bring this up is I do have some experience with people who are supremely arrogant, but that arrogance is supported by ability. I can't deny that he was a good fighter.
It still goes back to, was that just the Ontario tournament circuit? Was it just point sparring? Did you ever
doesn't
see
matter.
Full contact?
Well, it really doesn't.
It does, because if he went and did full contact and got his ass kicked, then fuck, he'd want to go back to the tournaments where he could be arrogant.
But then the
arrogance becomes not confidence. It just becomes arrogance, which is a different thing.
We're floating around this topic all over the place. Let's try and focus it a bit. Do you think that being an arrogant person, to portray an arrogant personality, or just let your arrogance come out if you're an arrogant person, the argument that was being made on the podcast was the more arrogant you are, the less likely you are to be intimidated by your opponent. What do you think about the merits of that statement? Do you think that presenting an arrogant face helps you be less intimidated by the person you're about to fight?
I think that's absolutely true.
See, I was thinking it was.
Not to present an arrogant face, but to be an arrogant person. If you're an arrogant person, you will be less intimidated.
But do you think, like, being a bully...
But you'd be wrong.
You obviously have confidence being a bully because that's why you're a bully. But it's been proven over time that bullies kind of have this... that they're not really confident in themselves, and that's why they're a bully. And I'm wondering if it transfers to being arrogant, that you're arrogant because you do have a self-sense of your abilities, but it's not confidence. It's just arrogance. Whereas... do you know what I'm trying to say? Like, if you were confident in your abilities, you can face anything because you're confident. If you're arrogant, that's just a personality trait. That's not really confidence in your abilities.
Let's stick to Mitch's question, and that was, if you're arrogant, are you less intimidated?
Okay,
that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, no, you're not less intimidated. Sorry, yes, you are. No, fuck. You're intimidated.
Possibly.
So I'm thinking you are possibly intimidated.
The more you'd be intimidated, the more you'd get let your arrogance show and try and bolster yourself. But that's not being confident.
That's what I'm thinking.
Okay, here's how I'm separating this out in my head. I agree that, yes, the more arrogant you are, the less likely you are to be intimidated by your opponent. However, that arrogance, I think, the flaw in that is you have a bloated sense of self, so you don't care who this person is or how they fight. You just automatically think you're better. Someone who's confident is going to understand how they are better than the person they're fighting, and they'll have a little bit more respect for the person that they are about to fight, and therefore will have a better understanding of their ability to fight. Someone who's arrogant is just going to walk around saying, I can beat everybody, I'm just the best, blah, 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 blah. But they're not really giving credibility to the ability of their opponent. I think it's a dangerous mask to wear because it blinds you to the potential ability or the realistic ability, and therefore the potential result of a fight with your opponent, because you don't have a realistic understanding of who they are and how they fight. I think arrogance blinds you to that sort of thing. Yeah. Go ahead, Bob.
I think he had a good can word I have
the
there,
talk,
Mitch.
Can I have the talkie stick for a second?
I thought I butted in first.
Yes, you did.
Go ahead, Bob.
We have to remember, though, that confidence and arrogance are not mutually exclusive. You can be an arrogant guy and have tons of confidence and be absolutely right in your judgment of your own ability.
Fair enough, but I think arrogance tends to lay a shroud of unrealistic perspective over how you perceive things. You're right.
Let me just say that there are tons of arrogant people out there who don't deserve or shouldn't be confident because they don't have the ability to carry it off. There are arrogant people who deserve the confidence because they can carry it off. And there are people who have confidence without the arrogance who are like, the virtuous ones that we all hold up as, good guy.
Rick, what were you going to say?
But I think, Mitch, you hit one word in there that defines the big difference between arrogance and confidence is respect. An arrogant person would not respect his opponent at all. A confident person respects his opponent and knows that, okay, he may beat me, but I'm pretty sure I can beat him, but I'll give him the respect and deal with that. Where an arrogant person, he just figures, I'm better than everybody, like you said, right? And no respect. And I think that's a big part of the difference.
Lenny, you've been suspiciously quiet.
I've been just listening along. I find it hard to deviate between confidence and arrogance because anyone I've known that's been arrogant has just been an absolute arsehole. And I think they've had unfounded confidence because I've yet to find any of them that could back it up.
Are you sure about that? Not one person?
Just in my own personal experience. I could be wrong. There could be other people out there.
Mitch, at tournaments, we used to, back in the day, what's that, who's that Taibo guy?
Billy Blanks?
Billy Blanks.
You've seen him at tournaments, right? Arrogant and confident. Arrogant and he won.
I didn't know
if he was arrogant.
I didn't get enough sense of him. I've only seen him a couple of times, and this was way in the beginning of my career. So I don't remember perceiving him in the couple of times I saw him as being arrogant. He was good.
He was a character.
He's like
Derek Lewis in the UFC. Like he's just
yeah, I couldn't
character, but everybody loves him.
No, and in fairness, I saw him at the beginning of his kind of tournament thing, and his whole character thing, as Lenny was just saying, was because he was trying to do the whole Taibo thing or Kaibo or whatever it was.
It was marketing.
So he became a character. He wasn't a character when he was just doing the tournaments. He was just a normal guy competing in tournaments. He just happened to be winning all the time.
I'm not sure I think he was
arrogant or confident or anything. I think he had his mindset on how to make money off this. What are you going to do? Okay, I'm going to start this. And that's what he did. And I think that's all it was. I don't think he was trying to be anything other than that.
Are we implying or inferring that you can't be arrogant and good?
No, you can. You can be arrogant and good. You have to be,
otherwise you wouldn't be.
No, that's not true.
I've known
some arrogant guys who weren't that good, and whenever they lost, their patter was always to make excuses. The refs were shitty refs.
That just becomes a ridiculous personality trait.
Those are the arrogant guys who are not confident. They're just arrogant.
They will
always make excuses for why they lose, and it does nothing to draw back that arrogance. But let's ground this a little bit. I know my karate training, not just karate, the other martial arts I've trained in as well. Humility was something that was very strongly put forth in the tenets of the training. That humility was a good thing. It was a good thing to be humble. Why does humility play such a strong role in traditional karate training? And it's not even confidence. Like, I never even heard that confidence was okay. It was always, you have to be humble. Humility is the path to wherever you're going on this road. Why is humility so strong a theme in traditional karate training? And should it be?
Can I jump in?
That, well, Darren went
go
first.
Ahead, Bob.
Oh, no, crap.
No. It doesn't matter. Bob wants to go, it's fine.
Darren, go ahead, Darren. Jesus.
Well, I was just thinking, because the whole thing is, because it's an individual thing, but you're part of a team. So with what you were saying, it's humility, because if you're being a dick, nobody wants to train with you. Nobody wants to teach you anything. If you're humble and you're looking for knowledge and you're working out with someone and you're going, okay, what did I do wrong here? What happened here? They're happy to help you. If you have no humble or humility or anything and you do something wrong, buddy's not going to help you out. He doesn't give a shit. You don't give a shit. He's not going to give a shit. And you just keep moving on and you change partners and it keeps going like that. But if you're actually looking to learn and you're humble and people can see that, they want to help you, which enables you to grow. And it just keeps passing it on and on and on and on as the generations grow or whatever. But if you're just a dick, you're not going to get helped, and that's it. That's the end of the line there.
Bob.
For that club or whatever it is.
Yeah. No, I get it. Bob, what do you think? You were going to say something.
I just want to make sure that we distinguish between humility, like being humble. I want to make sure that we're not talking about like a doormat and somebody who just, suffocates themselves in whatever situation they're in. We're talking about modesty, right?
Like, yes, just, modesty.
Just understatement of one's own, you know, whatever.
The thing is, go ahead, Bob. Didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead.
I didn't have much more to go. I was just wanted to make that distinction.
Okay. Len, anything to say on this humility as being, like, Len, you run a club and you came up in a traditional school, well, fairly traditional school.
Yeah.
Was that sense of humility, of being humble, was that a part of the training?
Yeah, and funny enough, our sensei used to say to us, it's funny you mentioned the word humility. He always said it was built from four components. One was good self-awareness, so your own ability and your ability to learn as well. Your appreciation of others and your openness to feedback that would in turn help you to grow and keep a good perspective of your own ability. So it was keeping yourself grounded, that you were open to, like Darren said, there was always that ability to learn more. And that. So it didn't put you on this pedestal that you disconnected from everyone else and that would be the end of your journey, because you just had total self-belief in your own abilities, whether they were founded correctly or unfounded. And once you hit that point, there's no further way to go, only down, the pride before the fall. So with those four building blocks, like the self-awareness, appreciating others, you're open to feedback and growth. That's why it's important, because we've always said, like, we've preached from day one, you're learning on the road to black belt, and then we say black belt's just the beginning of the journey. So that kind of one kind of affirms the other.
Okay. Hello. Sorry. Talking stick. Is that okay?
Jesus Christ. I think I like the other Bob better.
Yeah.
It's hard to get the stick.
You can just cut him off. You can just cut him off.
Bob, suck that therapist.
Okay, now, this is an interesting point, because we're talking about non-competitive, like not super competitive sports. We're talking about our sort of sphere of karate. Now let's talk about super competitive worldwide sports. If you're the best, if you are undisputably the best at something, whose advice should you take?
Even the best at something have people to whom they look up.
Had in the past tense.
I don't know.
Went into falsetto there for a second.
Sorry.
We've crossed sports before. Like a boxer will always have a coach, right? So he'll say, okay, you're dropping this or whatever, and he's coaching him. A golfer will have a swing coach. Tiger Woods, the best golfer in the world, even when he's at the top of his game, had a swing coach that kept trying to improve his stroke, advising, even though he was
advising.
The top.
Well, right, he was advising,
yeah,
sure.
But he was a coach. So he was still taking advice.
No, he wasn't necessarily taking it. He would listen to it and decide whether or not to take it.
Sorry, Bob, I've lost your point. What was the point you're making here?
Fuck. That's a
if you're the best in the world, you don't take advice from anybody.
Yeah, if you're the best in the world, whose advice
do
you
take? I don't know,
man. Somebody made the point of everybody has, I think it was Lenny, everybody has people telling them what they should be doing. And if you're humble, then you listen to advice and something like that.
The thing is, the notion of being the best is such a fleeting idea. It's such a short-lived thing. Like, everyone on this podcast has competed in tournaments where we've won, and we've competed in tournaments where we've lost.
Uh-huh.
how can anybody compete? It doesn't matter whether it's a local level or a national or international level, and think that they are the best. Realistically, that's just a deluded perspective, because we all know.
Yeah, fine. Let's say I win a couple tournaments and I lose a couple and then somebody gives me advice. It is my judgment on whether to take that advice or not. It's not, if I'm humble and take the advice of people around me, that's not exercising my judgment.
What?
What?
If I, the point was made that being humble means taking the advice of the people around you. And that's not necessarily the case. If I listen to the advice of people around me and I don't like it, I'm not going to follow it.
Arrogant thing. Like if you lose a fight, I think I might know what he's saying. If you lose a fight or whatever it is you're doing, and someone comes in and starts giving you information or advice or whatever, and you're so arrogant that you're like, no, I got this. I don't need to hear what you're saying. I just happen to lose that one thing.
Yeah.
Not even arrogant. If you, in your best judgment, don't think that that's the proper advice to take, you won't take it.
But you have to be arrogant not to take it.
No.
No.
You'd have to be arrogant not to consider it.
Yeah. Yes.
That's what I meant.
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's a good distinction.
Well, it's like if you go to a seminar and the guy's showing you, it doesn't matter whether it's grappling or karate or when Bob and I went down to Superfoot Wallace, he did a bunch of stuff for the entire day. We both came away with a couple of different things that we went, I really like that. And I came away with a couple of things that he did that I went, well, I don't like that. I'm not going to do it. But that's what you do. Even if you're the best, you will pick and choose, but you will always look at what they say and sort of go, will that improve me? But that's, if you're too arrogant, you won't even look at that. You'll just say, I don't need that. I don't need him to tell me what to do because I'm already the best there is at everything.
Yeah, that was Mitch's point, I think. It was a good
one. I have a question for Mitch.
Yes, sir.
Remember at the last tournament that we were at and someone gave you advice. Now, it was ill advice, granted, but what would distinguish your arrogance to decide that his advice was ill advised?
Right.
I think he outranked you.
You know what I'm talking about? Well, yeah, he does.
It doesn't really matter either. Not what you do.
But it is like because there is a certain amount of knowledge where you just go, look, he's wrong. But is that arrogance or is that knowledge?
I think the difference between arrogance and humility is the willingness to accept or to not accept, but to consider the advice that someone else gives you. If someone gives you some advice.
You didn't consider it. You knew it was retarded.
Okay. I will. Hang on. No, hang on a second.
Are we both arrogant?
I'm going to cut this all out because I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing, Darren. So what exactly are you talking about?
Someone gave you advice. Oh, I can't remember whether it was a kata or sparring. I'm assuming it was kata. Their advice was not correct.
We
knew it wasn't correct. We gave him credit where credit was due because they meant well. but they were incorrect. So
yes, but that's my
point.
Were
you and I both being arrogant, or were
no?
They just
because
incorrect?
When we heard the advice, we filtered it through what we perceive, and we concluded that that advice was wrong. We didn't just dismiss it out of hand. We said to ourselves, okay, this is something someone has just said. Is this right? Is this wrong? We concluded that it's wrong, and we discounted it because of that. I don't consider that arrogant. I consider that respectful. Anytime someone says something to me at a tournament, a black belt or whatever, and they say, look, here's what I think. If I just automatically go, fuck off, like, fuck you. I'm not even listening to you. That's a pretty arrogant perspective. But
okay, yeah. No.
If I say, you know what? I'm going to listen to what you say. I don't agree with it, so I'm not going to do it. That's not arrogant. That's just
your opinion.
Exactly. That's just opinion.
Yeah.
That's
no,
me.
Okay, yeah.
That's
no,
me.
That,
yeah.
That's,
you know what I mean?
Just
okay.
When you were talking about that sprung to mind. And,
yeah, fair enough.
Answer that question, and I'll buy that. Yeah, that's good.
All right. Fair enough. So look, guys, we're coming up to the break. So let me focus this in a little bit. I get the sense that in my training, in my history of training at a number of clubs, that the notion of humility is very, very strong in the traditional martial art milieu. I don't get the sense that confidence is given its due. I think there's a greater emphasis put on being humble and not as much on being confident. And I'm not sure that's a good balance to take. Here's another problem I've got. I look at my own perspective and I examine it daily. And I'm not sure if I'm humble. I'm not sure if I'm confident. I'm not sure if I'm arrogant. I sometimes perceive myself displaying different pieces of all of those kinds of personalities. I got no idea whether I'm confident, humble, or arrogant. So how do you perceive yourself? Let's do this. How do you perceive yourself? Humble, confident, arrogant? How do you perceive yourself, and how do you defend that perception? Bob?
It's on the placards of every poster in front of every karate school that we teach you confidence. And it's implied that we teach you humility too, or at least it's unsaid, or it's said, or whatever. What was your question? I'm serious.
My question was... What was your question? No, hang on, Bob. My question is, on the scale of humble, confident, arrogant, where do you place yourself on that scale, and how do you justify it?
I feel that I am a humble personality, and I came to it as a humble person, and that has filtered everything I've done in my entire life. I think you come into this world with one of those personality traits or a combination thereof in whatever proportion, and you're stuck with it.
Okay, Bob, just to complicate this conversation a little bit, delineate for me the difference between humble and self-deprecating.
No, there isn't. Modest is the word that I brought
up. Okay, modest and self-deprecating. Because I don't think self-deprecating is necessarily a good thing. But you and I are
it's
both
bad.
Self-deprecating. Okay,
right.
But you're self-deprecating.
Yeah.
You just said you're modest.
Dude, I'm both, believe me. A self-deprecating person will treat modesty as a virtue. That will be one of their main virtues that they proclaim.
I like that. Good.
I like that
okay.
as well.
I do too, yeah. A self-deprecating person will claim modesty as a virtue. I'm going to get that tattooed on me somewhere. Rick, where do you put yourself on the self-deprecating, humble, confident, arrogant scale?
Well, I hope and I think that I am not arrogant. And I figure that I did have a lot of confidence. It has sort of gone down a little bit because of different things that have happened. But I still have confidence in my ability to do what I want to do. And as far as being humble, I don't know that I'm a humble person, but I probably portray a few humble things, but not as much as, hopefully not nearly as much as being arrogant.
Hmm.
If that answers your question.
It does. Lenny, what do you think?
I've always been self-doubter more than self-deprecating. I don't know if there's a difference. I try to be humble, and I've always lacked in my own confidence. Simple as that.
And you know,
I've nearly gone out on a limb to always try to avoid being arrogant as possible.
You know, it's funny that phrase you used, self-doubter, or being self-doubting. I don't know. Anyway, that's a good phrase. Thank you for using it, because it throws another spin in my head on this perspective. Darren, how about you?
I think a lot of it depends on where you're at in your training, where you are, what club you're at, stuff like that. There'd be loads of times where I'd be self-doubting, I'd be self-deprecating. And there'd be other times where things are really going well and you're self-confident and you're actually winning tournaments, and you can't help but be confident because things are working out. So it constantly changes. And I want to touch on something Bob just said. I think that whole thing where, say, we'll take karate, which proposes to teach you confidence and this and that and the other thing. And I don't think karate by nature teaches you that shit, because it's going to depend on your instructor. It's going to depend on the fellow students, your teammates, and everything like that. You could very well end up in a club where you just feel like shit all the time, or you're beating everybody and you develop an arrogant sense or an overconfident sense. So to have a philosophy of karate that say it teaches you humility and this and that, or even confidence or whatever, that's not necessarily going to be the case, depending on what club you're in, depending on your frame of mind going into it, and depending on your abilities as you're going through your training. It could actually be detrimental to you. So that's just like when Bob said karate proposes to teach this, that, and the other thing. That might be what they try to teach, but that's not necessarily what you might get out of it as an individual student.
That's a good point. The intent of the instruction isn't necessarily equated to the result of the instruction, because 100%. it filters through the perspective of the person being taught. So,
but even the other students too. Like, if you happen to have a club where you might be you might have the greatest intentions of an instructor, but if you can't manage your students, you're going to have students that are just going to be bullies, and they might be fucking around with the other students that don't have the confidence, and then it goes haywire after that. But your intentions are really good. You just don't have control over it, and it's
okay. Fair enough, Darren. But just to top the question off, where do you put yourself on the self-deprecating, humble, confident, arrogant scale?
I think that's what I said. I think it depends on the mood I'm in and where I'm at in my training and where I'm at in my life. If I'm training hard and I feel great and I'm going to a tournament and I'm actually winning, I think I'm pretty confident. But if I'm just fucking around and I'm not doing anything, I'm self-deprecating. I don't have a set thing. Sometimes I feel really good and I'm confident. Other times I'm self-deprecating.
I'd like to I'd like to just go to the break now and not answer this question myself.
Cop out.
But we're going to give it another 5 minutes. Well, you do.
All right, let me just throw this in. I don't understand anybody. I don't understand arrogance. It doesn't make sense to me. I've had my ass handed to me enough times that it's just not possible for me to be arrogant. This is how I perceive myself. I don't know how other people perceive me, because it's been demonstrated to me so many times that I'm lacking in so many areas that arrogance just doesn't enter into my lexicon. It just makes no sense to me. How can I be arrogant with the number of times I have been? It's been demonstrated to me that I'm lacking in my ability. So I tend to be very self-deprecating. I tend to be very I lack confidence. Anyway, that's the best I can do. That's how I perceive myself. If we really wanted to have a couple of drinks and get into it, we can talk about how we perceive each other. But I'm not.
Let's do it.
Anyway, look, folks, We've been going for well over an hour. We're going to take a quick break. Thanks for listening this far. We'll be back in a few minutes. All right, guys, let's go on to the last, or the second last talking point. We're never going to get to the last one. Okay, the next talking point. Technique is less important than attitude. This is a really good one because, Len, I don't know about you, and I can't speak to anyone else's experience. I don't know why I pointed out Lenny, but yes, I've been to a plethora of gradings where people were given their ranks because of their attitude more than their technique. So technique is less important than attitude. The individual who is training is more important as a person than their technical ability. Who wants to go first?
Me.
Shocking. Bob, go ahead.
I think it's really appropriate to come back to the metaphor of a music school who teaches piano playing.
That was my metaphor.
You got to pass the test with technique, not as you are as a person. It seems like a pretty simple thing. Somebody else go ahead from that.
I don't think you finished.
it's more important to play the piano properly than it is who you are as a person.
Right. So it's clear that...
No, that's not it.
Go ahead, Darren.
There's degrees of playing. So you've learned the music and you're playing it, and that's it. You're playing it. Are you playing
But to speak to Bob's example... In a music studio or music, the Ontario Conservatory of Music, for instance, or whatever musical education you decide to follow, does anybody ever say, you know what, they're trying really hard and they clean up the music room after class is over and they're very helpful in distributing all of the music before the class starts. So maybe their technique in playing isn't quite what it should be. But they really try hard, and they've got a good attitude, so let's pass them. Does that ever happen?
No, but
right.
You don't have to be proficient to get passed. You just have to be able to play it.
But we're not talking about that.
You could suck at playing it, but you could suck at playing it, but you're still going to get passed. If you can read the music and suck at it, you're going to pass.
Okay.
You will. It's just the way it goes.
I was a guitar player. I took guitar lessons in the Ontario.
Yeah, that's a better way to play that.
In the Ontario.
I was a guitar player. No, slow down there, Ouch. Chief.
You right, exactly. Lessons. I took lessons, exactly. But I took lessons at the Ontario Conservatory of Music for, I don't know, Bob, do you remember 2 years when I was in my teens?
I don't have a clue.
Who was the instructor there?
Remembers things?
My memory of that experience was there were very strict... They didn't give a shit about you as a person. All they cared about was could you play. And this is what we're talking about. Does who you are or should your attitude feed into... whether or not you progress in rank, or is the only thing that matters how good you are?
Taking that example, Mitch, when you went to the Conservatory of Music, you walked in, you went into a little room, your teacher came in, you did your lessons, you walked out. You did not interact with anyone else in that entire school.
That's not actually true, because...
Well, unless you did a...
We did group classes as well. We did group classes as well. So, but anyway, carry on.
Oh, okay. That blows my theory all to hell. Never mind.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Rick.
Because I was going to compare it to a karate club where you're always in class with other people and you're always interacting with other people.
But that doesn't really
that's
change
got
the
to do with
that,
what the, no.
Right. The point is, should look, if you try really hard and you've got a good attitude and you support the club and you go to events and you do all the things, is that enough to forgive lousy technique? That's what this comes down to.
Lousy technique? No.
Not lousy. Maybe I shouldn't have used that word.
How shitty are you that you can't eventually kind of do reasonable technique? Like, come
okay,
on.
But what?
Even a fucking.
No. Yeah, but okay, white to yellow belt, fine. Yellow to orange, maybe. When does it stop being enough? Like, am I going to forgive?
You get the shit kicked out of you all the time. Like, if you're in a club go on.
Darren, even in a music school, they have standards.
I agree. About that, those. That's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're a green belt and you're getting the shit beat out of you all the time, you can't expect to move up to blue belt. I'm assuming if you're just you're shitty, you're not winning tournaments, and you're getting beaten up by everybody else. It's like, do you want to go?
You're getting beaten up by lower belts.
Or yeah, whatever. That's actually what I meant. So it's like, do you see yourself as going to the next level? Like, you're asking the person, do you see that? Do you understand that? And if they can't see it, it's like, well, look, the dude below you beat your ass. Like, what the fuck?
We have to be clear that the standards have to be in black and white. You have to do this. You have to be able to do that. Just like in the music school.
But even that's still subjective. Is it like when you have to throw a round kick proficiently? That's subjective. Who's to say it's proficient? And the same in music. You have to perform this piece of music efficiently. Well, who's to say?
Absolutely, I agree. But those standards are there, and whether or not the instructor upholds them is a different question.
Yeah.
But they are there.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm sorry, guys. I've lost the thread here. How much does it matter about your attitude versus your ability?
Fuck, I think
because that's what we're talking about.
I wouldn't say zero. Bob just went zero. I think there's a happy medium somewhere. I think we've talked about this before. You have to have the standards. But if you're giving it your all every single time and you're improving year after year, you have to give credit for someone that's improving year after year. He might not be meeting the standards of your belt, but you have to recognize that, whether it's by stripes, I don't know. That's why sometimes stripes are there, because you're not ready to move to the next level. So we'll give you a fucking black stripe on your little fucking yellow belt. But there's some recognition that you're fucking busting your ass and you're doing it. And we're going to give you credit for that.
Okay, this is the...
Darren, sorry, Mitch.
Go ahead, Bob.
Darren, I get your point. But if you're going to give rank... if you're going to assign value to attitude as well as technique, then put that in black and white and say if you're an enthusiastic practitioner, that counts certain number of points toward your rank. And
that's a good point. I really like that point too. Yeah.
I'll tell you guys, and I really actually want to get Lenny's perspective on this, because he runs a club full time. But before we go there, I don't agree. I don't give a shit about your personality. I don't give a shit about how hard you try. I don't give a shit about how many hours you dedicate to it. All I care about in terms of rank progression is, can you do the techniques competently? And the reason I draw that line is, as soon as you start introducing less objective criteria, the slippery slope starts to happen. You start promoting people for reasons other than ability, and then you end up with black belts who suck. So this is why I feel so strongly that I don't care how hard you try, I don't care how enthusiastic you are. If you can't do it, you can't do it, and you shouldn't get rank.
So you're talking strictly about a black belt.
There is something to that.
No!
If you want to be hard and cut and dry and just go, look, this is how it is. These are the criteria. If you don't meet it, you don't meet it. It's not a big deal.
Yes.
You can still continue to train and you can get better.
But to Rick's point...
You just don't meet these standards.
But to Rick's point, I think as you progress higher through the ranking levels or higher through the belt levels, that perspective becomes more important. I will grade somebody from white to yellow just because they try real hard. I will not grade somebody from green to blue or blue to brown just because they try real hard. They have to be good. And once you go from brown to black, I don't give a shit about your attitude. I want to see what you can do.
This is interesting because after fifth degree black belt, it becomes more about what you're contributing rather than your technique.
Given that criteria, I should not have the rank I have because I don't contribute fuck all.
I'm a danger to myself and everybody around me.
That's nothing to do with martial arts.
No, Bob.
No, not at all.
Seriously, in my training, I'm very selfish. I train what I want to train in, when I want to train in it. I do the things I want to do. I don't care about...
We're not talking about you. We're not talking about your individual case.
No, but my individual case feeds into the general question. At what point...
Hang on for just a second. High-ranking black belts should not be judged according to their technique as much as a white to yellow belt, right?
Okay, so?
All I was saying was that...
White to yellow belt shouldn't be judged on their technique. It's basically, can you do
actually,
what you're supposed to do?
The irony here is a white to yellow belt should be judged on their technique as much as a fifth degree black belt, the sixth degree black belt should be.
No. Pretty much. A white belt has to meet a minimum standard of the technique. A fifth to sixth degree black belt should it not be more based on their contribution to the art than it is on their technique?
I disagree that
somebody's mixing a drink.
I disagree that
70 years old.
I disagree that a white to yellow belt should be judged on their technique. They should be judged on their attitude, not their technique, because their technique's going to suck.
No, that's wrong. No, their technique's going to suck. But
their technique is going to be as their rank.
It has to be a white belt level. Yeah. What's wrong with saying that?
Sorry, Bob. Yes. Say that again.
A white to yellow belt has to exhibit a minimum standard of technique. It's going to be low, but it's there. Like, come on. They have to be able to do the Taikyo showdown.
Yes, they have to generally move their... Jesus, Darren with the typing. Holy fuck.
Fuck you.
That's three of the guys. Well, you already said it to
Bob.
You said it to everybody.
That's what he's typing. That's literally what he was typing.
Darren was typing, fuck you.
it's like all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. He's filling a manuscript with fuck you.
Okay, let's draw this back in a bit. I'm really, I struggle with this every time we have a grading at the club. What's more important, attitude or technique? Lenny, who has said nothing, by the way. Lenny, go ahead, say something.
Something.
He said something. He's,
no, I've struggled with this one massively over the last couple of years because I had students who bust their balls and maybe were flawed on one element of their technique, not entirely all of it. So they might have 90% of stuff great, and that 10% is questionable. And I'm kind of sitting there going, do I fail them because 10% is wrong? So that's where I had to kind of look at, okay, what percentage or what element of flawed is acceptable, and where their attitude and their application can become a bolster for that. Because the next question is, are we ever going to be perfect? Because, you know, or are we going to hit a point where we're going to decline? And that brings open the thing of, okay, your technique has declined, so take off your fucking belt, you're going back to where you were. it's the whole thing of when you hit a certain age, should you surrender your grade. Now, I went full circle on this and recently had someone coming up the ranks pushing, pushing for a black belt, but their technique and their attitude was wrong and their application was wrong. And I eventually drew the line and said, no way. And it got quite heated and quite argumentative, and eventually a family got involved and they eventually left the club and were very negative in their comments publicly in the community about the club. But looking back in hindsight, it was the right thing to do, because it would have sold me soul to turn around and say, okay, you can go for your black belt. So that's why I've been so quiet, because it's a constant struggle for me, because the black belt grade before that, and Darren was at it, and I remember speaking to them beforehand about how in particular one guy going for it just absolutely despised and fucking had no time whatsoever for Cat, and from the day he took it up hated it, and it reflected on the night of his grade. Did it make him less of a fighter or less of a practitioner? No, he got out there and he's able to stand up for the duration, and I've seen him, he can teach, he can fight, he can do stuff, but he just hates Cat. So it's a dilemma for me, because in my mind on the night it was kind of maybe should fail him, but the rest of the panel were going maybe he should get it, and it's a struggle for me, that one. I can't answer that one definitively, because I constantly struggle with it.
Isn't the crux of this entire conversation about what the standards explicitly set out in the grading requirements contain? If you put in a clause in white to yellow belt that enthusiasm, general participation, blah blah blah, will count somewhat toward your ranking, and do that for every rank, doesn't that remove this whole problem?
In all of our grading sheets way back, there wasn't one thing that said something about attitude.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, and I was just thinking what Lenny had said is perfect, because if you take a student who is arrogant, who doesn't want to talk to anybody else, who doesn't come to any of the club functions, who doesn't want anything to do with anything with the club, but he comes in and his technique is just about right on, his attitude really sucks. Do you not take that into consideration when you are grading him?
Well, this is my point. Either it's explicitly stated that your attitude matters, or it doesn't. And but isn't that like, shouldn't that happen, Mitch?
I think part of the attitude should now, whether or not just attitude gets you the grading. No, I don't think that. There has to be a level of competence in the techniques. But I also think that you also have to have good attitude to get ranked, to get graded up myself.
Oh, man.
My perspective is that for the lower ranks, yes, attitude matters. Effort matters. How hard you try matters. And I would go up to orange belt. For green and up, attitude and effort is assumed. It's you shouldn't get points for it. It's just part of what you should be demonstrating when you're training.
But what if a brown belt doesn't have that attitude and he kicks the shit out of every yellow belt he ever fights because he can?
Ooh, that's the arrogant thing.
That's exactly.
Do you still
grade that person? Then his attitude stopped him from getting graded. Then
you're right. I see the irony and I see the contradiction.
Wouldn't it help the whole situation?
My head hurts. God damn it.
Wouldn't it help the whole situation if this stuff wasn't just said after a grading at the black belt party, but was made explicit to everybody?
Yeah, but making something so subjective explicit is kind of mind-bending on its own. How do you take something that is so undefinable and so subjective and explicitly state that, oh, we're gonna we're going to consider this thing that's completely beyond definition in whether or not you pass. That's right. Kind of a
by saying that exact thing. From white to orange belt, your attitude will be considered in your grading. From green to brown, it will not, etc.
But Rick just said,
yeah, playing Go devil's ahead, advocate Rick. On that same point, you can't have it be a popularity contest either, as far as attitude goes, right? Just because, of course, you know. So yeah,
as soon as you say, as soon as you explicitly say to the students, it's subjective. You can make it as subjective as you want, and you can do whatever you want.
I suppose.
Wow,
but
you know what?
Still got to have the standards. Still got to have it written down or something. These days.
Yes.
I got to tell you, my whole perspective on this has changed. Mostly relative to what Rick said a minute ago about if you've got a brown belt who kicks the shit out of white and yellow belts, suddenly it's not just about their technique anymore. Now it's about their attitude. So attitude does play a role in this. And I didn't think it did a little while ago. I said, it's all about objective ability, but... Okay, this is the last podcast, folks. We're just not doing these anymore.
That makes my head hurt too much.
Nice talking to you guys.
Yeah. It's actually blowing my mind.
You quitter.
See, this is why I love these podcasts. It's made me rethink this entire perspective. All right, guys. Look, we're well over, well, not well over, right at 2 hours, so... We're going to bring this one to
you. You were just trying to fucking slip out, going, oh, we're well over the fucking time now.
Oh, yeah.
We're not even at the time yet.
We are at 120 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah, but we Rick started late and all that stuff. Remember Rick wasn't here? All right. Shit?
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
You're fucking trying to vacate. Where are you going? What do you got, what do you got going on tonight? You are. You're fucking slipping out there. The host is leaving us. The rest of us have shit to say. You're like, oh, I don't want to hear any.
Okay, look, let's go around. Wait. Okay, one more time around the horn. Last comments about technique versus attitude. Bob.
I think one of the last points that was made, I think, is a good one. If you make explicit to all the students that your attitude matters in your grading, that might have a positive effect. First of all, on their motivation. Secondly, at least let them know that that's what's being considered also along with their technique. And if that doesn't matter to you and only technique does, if you make that clear too, it's clearer for everybody. And both of those things would just help improve what's going on in the club.
Rick, last comments.
Well, for me, I think you have to have a bit of both. I mean, you do have to have standards, and they have to be high enough to make sure that you are increasing your skill levels for each. But attitude, deportment, how much you, all that stuff, and there's a lot more than just straight attitude. It's, do you support the club? Do you come out for stuff? Are you friendly to everybody? That does have a component in being graded, but you cannot allow the attitude to get, you know, more than the technique. The technique has to be paramount, but there should be some sort of attitude component in the grading.
Lenny.
I'm probably going to contradict everything I've ever thought and spoken of in the last, while on this podcast. But the more nice. I'm thinking of it, at the end of the day, look, we're the instructors. If we have to factor in technique and attitude, that's a fail on our part. We should make it abundantly clear from the get-go what's required. And that's it. And if we're going to move the goalposts ourselves to go, he's a nice guy, then that's a failing on our part. It's not a failing on the student's part.
Darren. Enough.
That's all tough. Fuck. I agreed with everybody up until Lenny. And it's not that I disagree with Lenny. I understand what he was talking about. But I think the whole thing about the individuality of it and everything, if people are really training hard, I think it's again going back to, if you go back to medieval times or whatever, and there's no belt system, there is no grading system. Nobody gives a fuck what the techniques are. you just progress as you are as an individual. Right? I think that's the way it should go back to. It's just, we're just taking you through your ranks. It's not the rank as it's been predetermined by who the fuck knows, by your instructor, my instructor, somebody else's instructor, and you've trained somewhere else and you've decided to bring some new criteria in. Like, who knows where it comes from? So it's just taking the individual and go, okay, we're going to take you through your ranks. Where do you go from your beginning to the end of your journey? And let's give you a rank along the way and give you things to strive for. And let's just do that. And you take each individual on their individual journey. And if it comes to tournaments and all that shit, okay, we'll reassess that if that's the important thing and that's what they want to do. But as far as training and the individual, that's what I think should be done.
Okay, for myself, Bob, go ahead.
I was going to make one more point, and I'm sorry to do this because it's sort of extra, and I've already made my point. It's just a little thing, but it's very apropos to this topic. You guys know that I took kendo for a year and a half or so, and I took it when I came in.
Sorry. I'm joking.
No, it's fine. I get it.
I've done some stupid shit too, so don't worry about it. If that's any consolation.
I signed up to the school late in life. I was a fairly high ranking black belt and all the other shit. And I signed up as a beginner in kendo. Will you shut up? Okay, shit. I would go in about everything.
Let the guy talk, for God's sakes. Jesus Christ.
Darren's pulling a Bob okay. here.
Yeah, okay. I was about to say, Darren's pulling a Bob.
Pulling the Bob on
exactly.
Bob.
I got it. I love you, Bob. Thanks.
Yeah, I get it. Fair enough. But I would make a point of going in 45 minutes or so before class started, and I would find a broom from the janitor's closet, and I would sweep the area. And I did that on my own initiative. I did that without anyone asking me to do it, because that's what I thought that junior students did in a dojo. Granted, I came to it with a prior experience, and I knew that that was a good thing to do as a junior student. But I did it. Nobody asked me to. Nobody thanked me for it. Nobody acknowledged that it was happening. I know that it was acknowledged. I know that people noticed it. But the point was that nobody said thanks, and the point was I didn't want thanks. The attitude was completely separate from the technique in those classes. And that's just the point I wanted to make.
That's an excellent point. Can I just ask, Bob, what made you think or adopt that attitude going into it? Like, what was your personality?
That was just the 30 years of going to dojos throughout my adult life. That's what you do.
Because some of this whole discussion was on arrogance and confidence and stuff. So if everybody went through the same 30 years, what if I went through as a dick? So my experience, it's still the same experience. I'm just a dick. So I'm just, I'm trying to figure out what attributed your philosophy on that.
It's my what do you call it? My modesty, my self-deprecation. I'm a junior student.
So it's just an individual thing. You can't be taught that. You can't develop that. Is that what we're saying? So basically, any student coming up, you're either an asshole or you're not.
No. I understand your point, and it's a good one. And I don't want to delineate like black and white. You're either an asshole or you're self-deprecating. Humiliated doormat to everybody who comes along.
Because that whole arrogance and confidence thing, that arrogance, we're almost saying that you're a dick, but can you change? Can you be not a dick? Can you actually be confident?
I was sweeping those floors with confidence. How's that?
But that's indicative of the person you were, Bob. You came from a respectful background, so you just brought it onto another dojo.
That's what I'm thinking. Like it's not necessarily your attitude. It was how you were brought up, and that's what I'm trying to think. If you were brought up wrong, would you just be a dickhead, or would your personal?
It's just a fiber who you are.
You know what I mean? Like if you went to a bad club, would your personality override the bad club kind of thing?
Absolutely. It's both. It's my personality and the way I was brought up.
Like I second guess myself all the time and think, am I a dick, or is that how I was brought up, or is that how it's developed, or is this your current mind of thinking?
My point is that the attitude I had of wanting to keep the place neat and clean and do the menial tasks had nothing to do with my rank and the techniques that I had to learn.
Yeah, and I can relate to that, because when I finish up every class, I can nearly tell you who the three or four people who go and grab brooms, and tell you who the two or three will run out the door, because you don't have to. That's the same people all the time.
That should not... If they're properly modest people, and they will not want that to affect your judgment of them after a grading.
That doesn't buy into the grading at all. That just makes me think more of them as an individual. It's nothing to do with their martial arts. It's just
in the end, it actually has nothing to do in the grand scheme of things. I don't mean like that. Yeah, that's fine. And exactly what you said, Lenny. Like, fucking every time I'll sweep the floor. Every time I go to Lenny's club, I sweep the floor afterward. And I watch loads of people walk out the door that don't. And it doesn't mean anything. You just do it. But loads of people don't. But people that don't, nothing's affected by them. They still do the same thing, and it's always going to be like that. So it becomes a personal thing. Do you feel happy that you did your bit? Do you know what I mean? You're not going to progress. You're not going to get any kudos for it. But are you satisfied that you did your bit?
I disagree with that, Darren. I think that...
How could you possibly disagree with that?
I'm about to explain it, if you'd give me a second.
Thank you. I will.
The individual doing it, you're right. They don't expect extra attention or extra kudos for doing it. But... as an instructor, I will take note of the fact that they're doing it. And if I'm considering them for their next rank, I think it's unrealistic to say that I won't consider that. Because I will. Rick made a point a little while ago, and it completely shattered the perspective I had. Because if you remember, early on in this podcast, I said the only thing that matters is objective technique. Can you do the things you're supposed to do? And Rick made a point earlier that made me completely turn that around. And I think it's unrealistic to say that any of us would consider anybody for whatever rank without taking into account personality and the things that they believe and the things that they demonstrate and the things that they do. So my perspective now is, yes, there has to be a certain objective ability met. Beyond that, the things that they do, the way they demonstrate their dedication, the way they demonstrate their perspective on the martial arts, that impacts those decisions as well. And I think that's a good thing.
That's fine. That has nothing to do with anything that we were just talking about.
Perhaps I've lost the thread of this.
I think you did, unfortunately. I don't want to jump on you, but that has nothing to do with what we were talking about.
Okay, hang on a sec. Darren, how does it not feel?
No. You have to explain how it does.
I forget what we were talking about.
Exactly, so I don't bring me into this trying to explain where you went wrong.
Don't bring me into this. All right, guys, hold on. Wait, stop. Yeah. Well, no. We're almost like an hour and a half or two and a half hours into this podcast.
Exactly. I've lost my train of thought, so I'm stopping this.
Yeah, we're going to stop this, guys. It's just, it's too much. All right, we're going to bring this one to a close. We're going to go around the horn one time. I know, Darren just wants to keep going forever. Like, if it was up to Darren, these podcasts would last 19 hours.
Well, which is ironic because he's always 12 minutes late getting into the guy.
We are only just touching the surface on some of the stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, let's go around the horn one last time. Any comments you want to make about what we've said tonight overall? Bob, any last comments?
My anger management therapist is a piece of shit. The fuck, and that's all I got to say about that.
No.
That's not what I predicted.
Len, last comments.
Last comments. These podcasts have just gotten deeper but more intriguing, and they're at the stage now where we used to get through 5 points. Now we got 2 hours, 1 point, and
two.
Mitch goes.
Exactly.
And Mitch goes, I can't remember. I'm calling a halt to this.
Come on, like, we're an hour and 40 minutes in, for God's sake.
Like, it's like intellectual waterboarding now. But it's brilliant. It's great. It's great.
God damn it.
To wrap it up to what we spoke about, I've no time for arrogance whatsoever. I don't like it. I think people who are arrogant, whether they're confident or whatever, are just inherent dickheads. The other one, technique and attitude, I struggle with greatly because I'm faced with it every single day because I've got such a volume of students, such a change in attitude from the general public in terms of sensitivity, snowflake behaviour, expectation, demands, etc., etc., that it's a thorn on my side. So that one I'm going
to... That must be really hard to deal with, dude.
It's torture.
Yeah.
It is.
Okay, Darren, last comments.
What was the question again?
We're going round the horn in your thoughts for tonight.
Last comments on the podcast.
Yeah, but on what parts of it?
Whatever part you want to comment on. We're closing it out, so if you have any last comments you want to make, now's the time.
No, as far as the arrogance... confidence thing, I think we exhausted that. I think arrogance has no place in any of it, and I think everybody agreed on that in different portions of it. The other one was, what did you say about the ability thing?
Ability and attitude.
Yeah, I think that's a hard one to go by, and I think I go back to what I said just before we started the new part, was that each individual goes on their own path, and when they're going through it, they're going up through the ranks or whatever it is, and it's just their individual steps. And if you want to grade them on, that's why I go back to I don't believe in belt systems. You just take the individual and you grade them on their path going through to whatever it is, whatever their goals are. So I don't
know what
that's...
Darren, sometimes I think you're a goddamn genius. Like, I'm not kidding you.
He just brought up the whole white belt, black belt thing, and that's all.
Exactly.
Whole thing.
And the, what he just said, you've got to judge everybody on their own path. Holy shit, that absolutely encapsulates this whole thing. Anyway, sorry, Darren, carry on.
Well, I can't now because you interrupted me. and you're not even Bob, you're Mitch. But...
Same bloodline.
But it is. Like, I mean, like... We've discussed many times, you have your belt systems, and this is what you do. And if you don't reach that, you don't get the next belt. And that's fucking pretty simple. You don't do it. But if you're going through your own individual thing, well, what do you do about that? Okay, fine. You either readjust it or you have a different program. And again, most fucking sports facilities have different programs. this is the program for the kids. This is a program for the adults. This is a program for the intellectual disability people. This is a program. You do it. But the whole idea is it's individualized. It's not a fucking grand scheme where we have developed this because we are gods and we have decided this is how the technique should be. And if you don't do it, you can't progress. It's like, no, let's involve everybody into it. And that's how you have to do it.
Rick, last comments.
Well, especially with technique and attitude, if I've got students that are coming up, I personally take into account their attitudes for two reasons. And as Lenny was saying, as a teacher, I have to do this. But if I've got a student that is showing a lot of arrogance and a lot of disrespect, especially any sort of disrespect, that student likely will not get as much correction and teaching from me on a personal level as a student who, as Bob did, swept the floors and wanted to learn and is always there. That it all incorporates into your training. And like Darren said, with no belts, it would prove out to the guy, to the people, if there was no belts, it would prove out in the end who would get more training and who would not, and who would progress better. Someone that has a good attitude or someone that has a really crappy attitude, you know, it would end up showing in the end.
I think Darren said it best, that you have to judge everybody on their own path. As long as you have a base requirement for technique, the rest of it is subjective. Where are you going? How are you walking that path? How is that path affecting you? How does it affect the other students? It's a complex question. And I hasten to say we have not come anywhere near answering it in this podcast. So,
can I ask a question for the people that are running clubs or have run a club, i.e. Bob, Mitch, and Len? If a student is coming into the club, do you want them to be a martial artist? Do you want them to just better themselves? Do you want them to just fucking have a good time? What do you want them to do? So if you're taking them,
I ain't no therapist. I'm a karate teacher.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
That's fine. I'll rephrase this. Do you want them to better them their techniques, their flexibility, their attitude? Well, Bob actually, fuck, he's wrong, because he would.
He is wrong.
Of course. So that fucked me up. But I mean, when you're taking a student in, you get someone that can't do shit, and you progress them to do a certain amount, and you can see that amount, and they've already bettered themselves, and you can see that. That's good. Do you want to see them win tournaments, or do you just want to see them, like, you've just accepted that they've actually done really well?
For myself, there has to be a minimum acceptable level of competency in terms of the techniques. Beyond that, it's completely subjective about personality.
I have an interesting concept here. There was, when I was competing in drum corps, is seriously, seriously competitive. And everything has to be 100% perfect. And there was a drum corps that had an intellectual disability person in it. And every once in a while, that person would make a mistake because it's the nature of their disability. So anytime any one person in the corps makes a mistake, you get a tick, and that's 1 point off your score.
Right.
And that's how they score the winners. So the core with the intellectual disability person in there obviously didn't win because they got the tick in there.
Right.
But people started to say, oh, you can't give a tick there because that's not your fault. No.
Nope.
Exactly. I know what you're saying, but I'm just saying this caused a lot of turmoil. But in the end, that the drum corps with that person in it never won. Because that person made mistakes. And that's how it was.
They had a great time.
Exactly.
The thing is,
I think
okay, this comes back to my perspective of there's got to be a base objective ability level.
Was. What I'm saying, and that's what it was. In the drum corps, you have to perform in this ability to make it to the next level. With that person in there, it wasn't going to cut it. So that drum corps lost every single time. And that's just the way it was. They made their statement, said, look, we're taking this person in. That's how it is. That's all fairness. Fucking
and
all, you know, Darren, that's all great that you guys are going that thing. But at the end of the day, you're not going to win because that person make mistakes. So
that was a great
fair play to you, for bringing that person in there and doing the shit. But you're not going to win.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
And I think that brings it into the broad perspective we were talking about earlier. It is broad, but it is actually simple.
Okay, folks. I think what we have come to the conclusion is that this is a very complex question. And as with every other podcast, I don't think we've come to any kind of resolution other than this is a really complex question. Okay, we got to bring this one to a close, folks. All right. Thanks, everybody, for coming on. Bob, Len, Darren, and Rick, I appreciate your time, as always. Any comments, questions on this one? The No Mind Podcast Facebook page, my personal Facebook page, or an email at nomindpodcast2021@gmail.com. After a solid 2.5 hours of discussion, we are done. We are out. Thanks, everybody. Awesome.
The chicks can't hold the smoke. That's what it is.